feel saved, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, one day you're going to be in heaven with him, and all everything that you went through on earth is going to be nothing. And so I'm going to continue on with what he was talking about, the joy. So that's my message, is joy. And you can jump in the First Peter chapter 1. And before I read from First Peter chapter 1, I have sort of another little tiny sermon here for you. So, you know, I call him Brother Thomas from New York. He sent us a text message this morning. You know, he prays for us every Sunday. But he sent this text message to us, and he sort of wanted me or us to share this with you guys. So I'm going to read this, so just remember, this is from Thomas from New York. So he says, last week, I had a sort of interesting thing happening. After the service, I was walking outside the church, and I overheard people talking. There were two folks. Apparently, one was in the service, and one wasn't. The one that wasn't asked his friend, what did the pastor talk about? The answer of the second person shocked me. He said, oh dear, wait, I can't really recall. As I passed by and kept walking, I thought to myself, wow, we just left church, and you already forgotten what the pastor talked about. But then I remembered how often I answered Tim's questions about the service with a similar reply. Tim is his wife. It's short for her name because it's hard to pronounce. I was even more deeply shocked when I realized that even I had to really think hard before being able to sum up my pastor's message from that day. What do I want to say with this? We need to take church more seriously. We need to take what comes from the pulpit as a message from God. We need to focus. So that will be part of my prayer for your congregation today, that they not only listen to your message, but that they actually chew on it for the rest of the week, that they actually plow their heart and let God's word start growing in them. Please remind them that church is not just a Sunday morning routine. It is coming to the feet of the Father as a group. We need to listen more to what we get from our pulpits. I want to be able to tell you after the service what I got from the pulpit. Wishing you a great Sunday. Say hello to everyone. So Thomas says hello. So I thought that was really important. And I just told him, you know, I've done that in the past. Well, like when Pastor Lloyd used to preach or anybody else, we listen to a sermon and it'd be a really good sermon. And it's like almost immediately after you leave and it's like you already forget what you heard, you know. So since he sent that this morning, I wanted to read that to you. So if you're at 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 3, and I'm going to read this from the NRT. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, It will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So this, you know, this joy, we go through trials and temptations and everything. And it's, like it says, it's testing our faith. It's making sure it's genuine faith. You know, you can have friends who say, I'll be there for you when you're in need. And when you're in need, are they already there? You know, is their faith already there? And this joy, you know, it says that when, you know, basically when you go through that fire, you and come out the other side, that joy still remains, and that joy can carry you through the fire, which comes out to, if well, you can write this down, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 10, because this is what talks about the joy of the Lord is your strength. So Nehemiah 8, verses 9 and 10, and this is the NLT, it says, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law, which was Moses, the books of Moses. And Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and show gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So what was happening here was the people, they had gotten far away from God. You know, they did not keep the commandments that God gave to Moses. And so when they heard the law of Moses and they realized, oh man, we are so far away from God. So they were mourning because, you know, there was like, I think they thought in themselves, there was no hope. We've been so far from God. How can, you know, what are we going to do? And Nehemiah is telling them, this is a joyful thing because God's gracious and merciful to them. And you can't keep, they can't keep it without God's strength. So when it's talking about the joy of the Lord is your strength, it's like we cannot do any of this on our own strength. It has to come from God. And it's like, it makes me think about, you know, because I know that I'm pretty sure this happens to everybody, because I know it happens to me when you mess up and you sort of get down on yourself and you beat yourself up and it's like, well, how can I serve God because I constantly mess up? But then it's like, it's not in yourself. And so you can have this joy that comes from God that's like, you know, it's indescribable whenever you experience it. It's like, yep, I messed up yesterday, but you know what? It's Jesus Christ in me. I live by him. It's this joy that comes from the Lord. You can't let the devil put you down, you know. You just come back with God's word, and you tell yourself who you are in Christ Jesus. But it's amazing, that joy of the Lord. It's like, you know, like what Carter Conn was saying, like, you know, just in your house, you know, go around praising God, worshiping God, you know, in this joy, you know. It's like, and I've done this, like if I remember going through a hard time, sometimes I'll watch something funny, you know, just to, you know, sometimes you need that help. And then you can write this, I got one more here, you can write this down, which is Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. So it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit driveth the bones. And I know I've experienced this, and you probably have too, but whenever you're going through a good time and you're feeling good, you know, you're laughing, having a good time, you know, sometimes you may have even had pain before, and you just know what's good for your spirit. You just, you know, what it helps you. But yet, if you're going through a hard time, you know, it seems like any little thing can wear you down and stuff. So that's what I encourage you today, is that this joy, just like what Carter Conn was talking about, you know, this the dash of the pony, you know, he was like such a joyful pony, just running around having a good time. It reminds me of, you know, we had birthday party for Mandy here just on Friday night, and all the kids were out there running around just having a good time, you know, and that's the way we need to be, you know, just get that joy of the Lord in you. And when you do go through those hard times, that's what you can lean on, is that joy, and it can help so much. So
you guys ever have those moments where it's like you want that joy and it's hard to get a hold of that? You know, that's where when you're living in the flesh, your flesh is like, I don't have the joy. I don't have it. It's not there. But in your spirit, it is. And so you need to draw that out. And sometimes, like Kenneth Copeland used to say, when he was really down and out and had a hard time, he would force himself to laugh. He would like look in the mirror and watch himself laugh. And then he would start laughing because it was so funny. Just to get himself, you know, like, don't be down. Look at yourself, how funny you look, you know, to kind of encourage him. You know, sometimes we need to do that to ourselves. Just laugh at yourself, because don't take yourself so seriously. Amen. All right. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to read this out of several translations, actually. So bear with me. I'm going to use King James a little bit, and then I'm going to use English Standard, New Living, and then just out of this, I'll use the Amplified. So I'm going to be switching around a lot today, just to prepare you, okay? So 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. And then I'm going to read just verse 2 out of the Amplified. It says, preach the word as an official messenger. Be ready when the time is right and even when it is not. Keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. Correct those who err in sin, exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity. I'm sorry, I missed a part. Correct those who err in doctrine or behavior. Warn those who sin. Exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. And then I'm going to read 1 through 4 in 2 Timothy. It says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but they will gather to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, having itching ears. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn to myths. And so one big thing that really caught me this week to really tell everybody was to be instant in season and out of season. So if you have the word of God in you, you are supposed to give that out, whether you feel like it or not. And that's why, so instant, it means ready. It means be prepared. You're already ready to go. Like, I'm going to use the funny thing that everybody uses is instant pudding. Anybody ever use that? You just add milk and you whip it up and it's ready, right? Well, when we have the word of God inside of us, all we have to do is get somebody who's hungry for it and boom, it comes out. But if you're not ready and it's not inside of you and you're not prepared, you can't give it out. Carter Conlon, one time, he was talking about, he used to be a police officer and he when he was in Canada, and he had just gotten saved, and I don't know, it had been a little while, and he had gotten into the word, and one day he was having a really bad day. And he had preached a little bit here and there to different people, and so people were wondering about this change in him, and he was with his partner driving along one day, and he was having a really bad day and didn't want to talk about anything. He was like, I just wanted to be by myself, get my job done, and go home. I didn't want to talk about God. I didn't want to talk about anything. I was just having a really, really bad day. And he was like, out of the blue, my partner suddenly hits the dashboard and says, well, Carter, you need to tell me about this Jesus stuff. Tell me what it's really all about. And Carter Collins sitting there like, oh, man, I'm having a really bad day. But it just came out of him. Because even though he felt that way, he was instant in season. He was ready to go because the word was put in him. And so I just want to encourage you today. I know it's hard sometimes when someone asks you about your faith. You're wondering, you know, do I have that word for people? Am I going to say the right thing? Well, if you love Jesus and you have been reading his word, the Holy Spirit will cause the right word to come out of you. So don't worry about it. Just listen to what he wants. Amen? So I have this, before I go into too much teaching, I have a word for you that I feel like it could be for all of us, could be for a certain person, but God showed me that some of us in this room, changes in our lives could happen overnight. Having a word from the Lord can prepare us for those seemingly unexpected changes. And I feel like he wanted me to tell you that don't be afraid, okay? Because for some of those things that are going to happen even overnight, don't be afraid because God is going to be with you. He's going to carry you through those moments, even when it seems like nobody else cares. Like you've been trying, and suddenly it just happens overnight. Just be prepared. God's going to be with you. Amen. So I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I'm going to talk about this word that is in you. I'm going to read this out of the New Living, Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm going to start verse 1. Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So I want you to keep that in mind. That's what Jesus spoke to Satan when the enemy came after him and tempted him. Jesus told him, when he wanted him to turn that stone into bread because Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, Jesus said, no, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So Jesus had that word in him. So when that trial came and that temptation came, he knew what to say. And I'm going to read this commentary about it. The Lord brought testings and troubles to his people. None of us like testings and troubles, right? None of us. We none of us look forward to that, right? Like when we know that we are going to be tested and we are going to go through a trial, it does not sound good. It's hard. So the Lord brought testings and troubles to his people in the desert in order to teach them that life does not consist only on the physical level. Each person's well-being, both physically and spiritually, depends on a close relationship to God and obedience to his word. The Lord Jesus quoted this passage in the hour of his temptation. At times, the Lord may permit difficulties in our lives as a form of fatherly discipline. This is to train us to depend on him more firmly and receive his word more willingly. Amen. More firmly, more willingly. And then I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy 11, I'm going to start at verse 18, and this is English Standard Version, 11:18. Actually, I think I want to go up a little bit. No, I don't. I'm going to start there. I'm going to go back. Verse 18, therefore, you must fix these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, so that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. When you lie down and when you rise up, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So why is it so important to have that word inside of you, to be prepared when you are supposed to give a word? Why? Because it affects every area of your life. When you receive Jesus, you are receiving the word of God. In Revelation, I think it's Revelation 11, I believe, it talks about Jesus, and he actually has the word of God. That's his name, and it's written on him. Just the word of God. I mean, how awesome is that? Like, that's who he is. So if you're ever wondering who Jesus is to you, he is the word. Amen. It is through Jesus that all of us are saved, right? Okay, so number one, we have to fix all of his words on our heart. But we can't put it like, okay, I have to get as much of the word in me as possible. I have to read as much as possible, and I have to know as much as possible, or I'm not going to make it through these trials and tribulations, or I won't know what to say. No, God will lead you exactly what to do. He'll teach you how much to read. It would be better for you to understand one verse than to read a whole book of the Bible and not understand a bit of it. So take your time, read that verse, and get the understanding of it. Ask God to show you. God, what does this mean? I don't know what this verse means. Show me. Show me what it means, Lord. When you get that revelation, it becomes imprinted on your heart, and that's where it's written on the tables of your heart. The second important thing, the reason why, number two, and I'm going to read verses 21. Just verse 21, so that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the days of heaven on the earth. And then I want to go back. Nope, that's it. Okay. Each and every word that you learn, when it's fixed on your heart and you know it, you have to teach it to your children. They need to know that you're not just telling them that this is what the Bible says. You need to be living that and showing that and demonstrating it and proving that the Word of God is effective, that it's real, that it makes a difference. You can't just tell your children, do this and do that. You have to actually live it yourself. It is the Word of God is powerful. If you are living the Word of God, your children will live the Word of God as well. Amen? And then I want you to hold your place there and then go to Psalm 119. And I'm going to start at verse 1. I don't think I'll read the whole chapter. It'd take me all day. Psalm 119, verse 1. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. And then I want to go on down to 16. I want to keep going to verse 16. How can a young person, verse 9, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord, teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. And that just means meditate. I'll reflect. I'll remember what your word says. Verse 16, I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Amen. The word, it needs to be a delight to you. You're not going to open it up unless you want to read it. But sometimes you have to force yourself to get past your flesh and read the word because it's going into your spirit. Sometimes you have to say, no, I may not feel like it. Just like Carter Conlon ministering to his partner, he did not feel like ministering. He did not feel like doing anything that day. But because the word was in him, he was ready. He was instant in season. Amen. And then I want to go back to Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read 13 through 15. It will be, if you will diligently obey my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain of your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. I will provide grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be full. So the amazing thing about the word of God being in you, the amazing thing about it is that supernatural blessings come from the knowledge and the obedience of the word. When you're going through life, sometimes you may not understand what to do next. Sometimes you may be like, well, I don't know what to do. Or sometimes your kids may come to you and they may be like, I don't know what to do next. I don't know what God has for me. Well, sometimes you need to be ready, not just to hear from the Lord yourself, but you need to be able to tell your children, this is what God wants for your life. Take this step, and then God will show you the rest. You'd be surprised at how much ministry you're going to do for your children, and how much ministry you're going to do for those around you in your life. Just by having the word in you, you're going to be able to tell someone, this is what God wants for you. And I want to get into that a little bit, but first I want to encourage you with John 15, verse 7. So go ahead and turn there real quick. John 15, verse 7. I want to read this so that you know that it is the Lord Jesus. These are my red letters in my Bible. Jesus is saying this to you. John 15, verse 7 says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Anything you want. God knows the desires of your heart. He doesn't just look at you like you're just trying to make it and you're going to get through this and you can do this on your own. It's not like a father with a child as soon as they turn 18. All right, you get out there in the world and you do whatever you want. No, God is with you when you're young, all through your life, all the way until you're old. God is with you each and every moment. And he says, Jesus says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, his word needs to remain in you. You need to keep a hold of that. Anytime you're going through something, anytime someone is asking you anything, his word needs to remain in you. Amen? And then back to Deuteronomy, verses 16 and 17, it says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn away and serve other gods and worship them. Then the Lord's wrath will be inflamed against you, and he shall shut up the heavens so that there will not be any rain, and the land will not yield its fruit. And you will quickly perish from the good land which the Lord is giving you. And so I just want to encourage you, the word is your protection. If you do not listen to what the word says, it is extremely easy for you to be deceived. And it's also easy for someone else to deceive you. It's easy, like if you don't know what the word says, someone could be telling you something that the word says, but it really doesn't say. You know, like for example, if you're listening to old wives' tales, like cleanliness is next to godliness. That sounds biblical, right? It's not. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says that. But if you didn't know the Bible, you would think, oh, amen, brother. That is a word from the Lord. But it's not. It's not. So be aware of what the word says, so that when anyone is talking to you, you don't just receive anything and everything, but you're aware that's not what the Bible says. And if you're not sure, what do you think you should do? Go read it. Go look it up. If you don't know what the Bible says, it's there for you. Amen. And then turn to John 7. You can keep your place in Deuteronomy still. Turn to John 17. I'm going to read verses 15 through 19. Again, New Living Translation. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, and this is Jesus praying to the Father, but to keep them safe from the evil one. This is Jesus praying for us, okay? They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. Our Father God, his Holy Spirit is inside of us. He teaches us his word. Jesus teaches us his word. Inside of us, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to be quiet and listen to our Father God. Because if we don't understand something, how can we learn something unless it is said to us, unless it is spoken to us? We have to be still and listen to what God is saying. Amen? And then back to Deuteronomy, verse 22, it says, "For if you diligently keep all these commandments, which I am commanding you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Every place where the soles of your feet tread will be yours. Your border will be from the wilderness to Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, as far as the Mediterranean Sea. No man will be able to resist you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you on all the land where you shall tread, just as he has spoken to you." And so I want to encourage you, God not only wants you to have his word in you, he wants you to hold tight to it, hold fast to it, because God is going to fight your battles. God knows day to day, year to year, relationship to relationship. He knows each and everything, what you're going to battle. He knows what you're going to go through with your children. He knows what you're going to go through with your coworkers. He knows what you're going to go through in your job. God knows, and if you hold fast to his word, then he already is fighting your battles. There are battles in your life that you don't even know that are going on right now. There are things that God is fighting for you that you can't even see, that right now he is protecting you from, he is preparing you for. Amen? And then it goes on to say, and I think I'll go ahead and read it, verse 26 through 28. This talks about the blessing and the cursing. "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, and the curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn from the way which I am commanding you today to go after other gods which you have not known." The Lord tells us, blessing or curse, what word will you hear and obey? What are you going to do for the Lord? At what point will any of us decide that God's word is important to us? At what point? Do we wait until the trials come? Do we wait until we're desperate on our knees and there's no other choice? At what point in our lives do we decide that God's word is the most important thing in our lives? At what point do we realize that God's word actually changes things? That God's word actually moves in us? That it actually heals relationships? That it heals our bodies? That it changes our future? At what point do we decide that it is important to us? Don't wait. Don't let that go too long. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 25, 11 through 13. You can go ahead and turn there. Thank you, Jesus. And this is King James, Proverbs 25, verse 11. It says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters." And in the New Living Translation, it says, "Timely advice is lovely. It is beautiful." Amen. Proverbs 12, 18, and 19. You can just write this down. This is New Living. "Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed." And then again in the New Living Translation, Psalm 119, 160 to 162. "The very essence of your words is truth. All your just regulations will stand forever. Powerful people harass me without cause, but my heart trembles only at your word." Meaning, the word of God should be the most important word in your life. That no matter what other people say to you, if they put you down, if they tell you you're not important, you're not loved, you don't deserve this, you're not going to make it. If other people are telling you that, and powerful people, it just means the most influential people in your life. It could be your spouse. It could be your parents. It could be your boss. It could be anyone in your life who is most influential to you. If they are harassing you without cause, if they are saying things to you that you don't deserve, don't take their word seriously, because your heart should only tremble at the word of God. It should only be your source for what God is saying to you. Only the word of God, not other people. Amen. "I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure." What is God saying about you? You are a treasure to him. Amen. What is he saying to you? What does he think of you? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that you're important to him? Amen. Each and every one of us, we will stand before the Lord one day. We are all going to hear the word of God, whether we like it or not. If you hear the word of God now and receive it now, you'll receive the blessings now. But if you reject the word of God, you will still hear it. One day in heaven, you will hear two things. You will either hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Or you will hear, "I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity." You have to decide at this moment, what do you want to hear? What do you want to hear at that day? Reproof and rebuke can be difficult. And this is in 2 Timothy, when I read at the beginning, you have reproof, rebuke, and exhortation. Amen. Reproof and rebuke can be difficult, and it can come in various ways, but when it comes from the Lord, it's always done in the best way. Amen. Not all of us, when we're telling people what they need to be doing, not all of us say it in the right way. Sometimes we're too harsh, and sometimes we're too lenient, but reproof and rebuke are important. They are a foundation. God has made it in us and given us the Holy Spirit to warn us and to rebuke us and tell us, that's not right. Don't do that. Don't go that way. Those are important. Amen. Exhortation and encouragement are necessary, and without them, it is very difficult to live this Christian life. But without a healthy balance between reproof and exhortation, the truth of the gospel can get distorted and made into man-made doctrines instead of the unadulterated word of God. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 15. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 15, I'm going to start at verse 3. And again, this is Jesus talking. Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death." This is out of his word. This is the In the Old Testament, before Jesus died on the cross, if you were disrespectful to your parents, they put you to death. That's how serious it was. There would be a lot of people dead right now at this day if we didn't have God's grace and mercy. Amen. And then Jesus goes on to say, verse 5, but you say, it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. This is why you must know the word of God. In Revelation, it says you never should take away or put in. You don't need to just change God's word just to fit your own idea of what it should be. If the Bible says honor your father and mother, that's simple. It's easy to understand. Amen. Don't complicate it. Don't make it try to fit whatever you think you should do for your parents. Amen. And then I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 2:17. And I want you to keep in mind, this is how we have gotten so many different denominations in the body of Christ. It is hard for people to agree. And a lot of us don't agree on everything, and we don't have to. You know, it's not, as long as we agree that Jesus is Lord, we shouldn't fight about the rest. As long as we agree that Jesus saved us, we shouldn't fight about the rest. But there are certain times when you don't belong somewhere because they're not preaching exactly what the word is saying. They're actually changing and adding and taking away from. I don't know if you guys know this, but in China, persecution is really, really bad right now. It is really bad. It's the worst it's ever been. But at the same time, in China, a major great awakening is happening. The more they try to destroy Christians, the more it grows. It's just incredible. And so they realize that they can't just keep it quiet. They know that it's happening, so they have to figure out something else. So what they did was they created their own Bible. And what they did was they put in what fits the communist doctrine, and they took out what does not fit the communist doctrine. And they're distributing these Bibles. And if you're a new Christian in China and you're reading this Bible, would you know without the Holy Spirit telling you, that's not really God's word? God doesn't tell you to do that. God tells you to do this. And so their way is like they realize they have to deceive in order to turn people away. That is going to happen all your life in various ways. In China, that's an extreme example. But here, people are doing it, and we're not even really noticing. We're not noticing when the word of God has changed, when people are fitting it to their own way of thinking. We're not really realizing that as much, but we need to, because we need to know what the word says. Amen? And then, okay, so 2 Corinthians 2:17. It says, you see, we are not like the many hucksters who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with sincerity and with Christ's authority, knowing that God is watching us. So we take this word seriously. And I like how the New Living puts it, because to me, people who are preaching God's word, they could even be saying good things. But if they're doing it for their own personal profit, they are just a huckster. They are just a deceiver. They're just someone who is trying to get you for your money, basically. And that is not God. Anytime you hear that is not God. And just remember that. Amen. And then I want you to turn to chapter 4 and start at verse 1. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. Amen. Too much reproof, too much rebuke can lead into ritualistic traditions of legalism and working for your salvation attitude. And that is easy to fall in. It's really easy to fall in. When you become a Christian, you feel like, you know, God forgave you, and immediately you have that grace and that mercy, and God forgave you for all this sin. But then you can get into feeling like, okay, but now I made another mistake. What do I do? Oh, man, I'm going to have to be better because God's not going to let me into heaven because I keep making mistakes. And God's like, no. I'm going to help you through these mistakes. If you try to get through it yourself, you're going to change your behavior, yes, but eventually you're going to go right back into your sin, right? So too much reproof. If you're constantly telling people, you do this and you do that, you do this and you do that, they're just going to fall into, they have to do these exact right things or they're not going to get it right. So too much reproof is a bad thing. Amen. God knows exactly what you need to hear. The Father disciplines those he loves. He's not going to discipline you too much. He knows what you can handle. But he's also not going to lift you up too much because he knows what pride can get you into. Amen? Too much exhortation can allow for sin to continue and continue and continue without ever being told to change. If you are constantly being told that you're okay. Everything you're doing is just fine. Your sin, oh, it's okay. It's okay. If you're being told that any of those things are okay that you're doing wrong, oh, God will save you, it's okay. And you never actually want to change, then that is too much exhortation. That is too much encouragement in the wrong thing. And so we have to learn, what is that word? If we're going to be instant in season and out of season, if we're going to be ready to give someone a word from the Lord, whether it's convenient or not convenient, we have to be prepared that too much reproof and too much exhortation both ways is dangerous. Amen. So this leads, too much exhortation leads into never striving for holiness and falling into a liberalistic attitude, which means you are free to sin without any consequences. And that is dangerous. Amen? Not only should you not receive that, but you shouldn't lead anyone else into it. If people come around you and they feel free to sin, then that says something about you. If they feel free to do whatever they want to do without any conviction, then what are you showing them? What's on your heart? You know, Jesus, he was in the world, but he wasn't of the world. Jesus had all kinds of sinners around him. All kinds of sinners. But he didn't just say, it's okay, you keep doing that. He lived a holy life. But at the same time, he helped them understand how to live a holy life. He didn't say, okay, you're okay, you'll get through that. You made that mistake, and you'll probably keep making it, but I'll always be here. No, it wasn't like that. It was, yes, you made that mistake, but you can get through that, and you can change. But that change only comes through the word of God. It doesn't come through you trying to, because Jesus, he rebuked the Pharisees because he knew what was in their hearts. they were telling everybody, you do this and you do that, and you do this. And yet they were really, really bad on the inside. He said they were like whitewashed tombs. So they were like dead on the inside. The Pharisees were dead on the inside, but they looked good on the outside. They looked holy. They looked perfect. Nobody would say anything about a Pharisee, but in reality, they were hopeless on the inside. They were only following tradition. They weren't really following God's word. They didn't really love the Lord. And this is where I want you to think about today. Again, when is it in your life? How long do you have to wait before the word of God is important to you? How long is it going to take before God's word becomes all that you need? Before God's word becomes the answer that you need and then the answer that you give? How long is that going to take? Are you going to wait until you are so desperate, so much fallen into things, so much fallen behind, so much away from the Lord before you realize, I guess I do need the word of God? Don't wait. Don't wait for that time. Turn to his word now. Be ready now. Fall in love with him now, and you will reap the blessings and the benefits, and nobody can steal that from you. Amen? Okay, so that's all I have today. And I just want to remind everybody, Lee Thomas will be here tomorrow night, 6:30. He wrote the very first book he wrote that we got was Praying Effectively for the Lost. But he's wrote a few since. And so this book, The Power of Relationships, it's really good. Feel free, if you want to take one of these today, I have them up here, just so you kind of know who he is when he comes tomorrow night. When we were growing up, his book was really neat. When we learned how to pray, as adults, I don't think we knew this when we were kids, but as adults, his book, Praying Effectively for the Lost, was really neat. So I just want to encourage you. That's tomorrow night at 6:30, and we'll meet in here. And he'll probably be here for a couple hours. So come if you can. If you can't, I will be recording the service for him, okay? Anyway, that's all the announcements. You can go ahead and stand and we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, that each and every word that you spoke to all of our hearts today, God, that it would be implanted upon our hearts, imprinted, Lord, that it would reap the benefits and the blessings of what the power of your word is. God, that things in our hearts that need to be changed will be changed, that revelations that we need will come to our hearts, that we will live by what your word says, God, not on our own power, on our own strength, but by your word and your power, by the power of your Holy Spirit in us. God, we thank you, Lord, for each and every person here today, everyone who is sick in body, everyone who is hurting in their hearts. God, I just ask you, Lord, that you would heal each and every person. God, the people here who are having important decisions in their lives that they need to make, Holy Spirit, give them that word that they need. Speak to them day to day today. In Jesus' name, God, we praise you for our time next door. Let our lives bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.